also give us this perspective, because the connection with chapter 3 and what we have in chapter 4 is the Jew better than anyone else? And who the Spirit of God sets forth by through Paul here is these two great men of the Jewish faith. To say, as great as Abraham was, he did not try to do it by works. Here's King David. When you think about, we all know some who of the Jewish of faith. Being named after David is a great honor. And yet the Spirit of God is saying, listen, Abraham came out of idolatry. He was, all of his energy was focused on dead things. And when he saw the God of glory, he recognized this is the way, faith in God. And when he came out of it, God revealed himself to Abraham in ways that we read in the Old Testament. David, from his birth, that royal line, and even Abraham and David didn't collect all of their good works and say, you know what, this is going to be good enough for God. No, both of them recognize that it's faith alone. And this is what I believe, young people, we need to take for ourselves. As Brother Amel pointed, even the one who just slightly misses the mark might as well be as the one that's missed the mark by 20 miles because all have sinned and come short. But I want us to have this perspective of David as well. Abraham, you know what sin does to men? It makes us recognize our nothingness and the disparity of our eternal destiny. We're in a condition, Abraham, David, us, that there was no way out. David's writings in the Psalms connected here, he speaks of the burden of sin. And just think of how wonderful it was when David understood it was faith alone in the Lord Jesus. That's why we have these verses, these words from Psalm. Blessed. Just how happy is the man to whom God reckons, imputes, gives on his account righteousness, declares righteous apart from any works. Blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. You know when you've done something against your parents and they send you to your room and you haven't said sorry? Do you know how you feel when your parents have not yet said, listen, I forgive you? How that rests upon you? Think about David's words here, the sin that he committed, the sins. But now to know that God has forgiven and his sins are covered. These were horrible sins. The burden of that rolled away simply because he believed God. And God declared him righteous. And when God, you see, I can forgive you and you still leave here feeling bad. But because of faith in God, the burden is rolled away. The consciousness of it now can be removed because it is God who has justified and declared me and you who have faith in the Lord Jesus declared us righteous in his sight. What a beautiful thought.
If I could connect it with the cross with the last couple of verses in the chapter, I think it's a wonderful help for us. It says in verse 24, but for us also. Wonderful. That's you and I brought into this verse. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now get hold of this next verse. Let's really focus on what he's saying. Who was delivered? He doesn't say for their offenses. No, he includes himself. Abraham was the one that said, Sarah's my sister. As he went back down into Egypt. What a failure. He looked out for himself. He deceived others. All of these things you find about Abraham in that early chapter. And we know we've talked about David here. Now look at the wonder of this verse. Who was delivered for our offenses, but was raised again. Let me tell you something. When he came out of death, my sin was not on him. He went into death. with my sins upon him. He suffered in those 3 hours of darkness the awful agony of abandonment from God, of judgment from God for all of the human race that will accept him. But oh, I tell you, dear young person, what a glorious day when the Lord Jesus rose from among the dead. He came forth victorious, you see, greater than any event that we can think of in history. Last year we visited Mount St. Helens and we saw where all of that power had been displayed, and the marks of it are still upon the earth for miles and miles around. You know, these events, the big tsunami that hit the coast a couple years ago, and all these people that were killed, these things pale in comparison. There's nothing like the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's delivered for my offenses, and he was raised again for my justification.
So I wonder if we can just maybe tie in yesterday and in our summary this morning, Chuck brought before us that God was just, and he was also the justifier. And now let's take that. He's just and the justifier, and apply it now to these last verses. So if God is just, that's his character. He is just. He cannot be anything but. So how can God, being just, accept anyone who has been condemned in sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And how can he, being just, claim that there is anyone now that is righteous? How is that just? But he's also the justifier. You see, so all men have been condemned under sin. And now we come here to these verses, and he says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus from the dead, Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. So here we stand, as it were, before the judge who is just, and everyone is found guilty. What is the remedy? There isn't one, until someone else comes into and steps before that judge who is just. And this one who comes in says, I will pay the debt for all of those who stand before you who are unrighteous. And that is what he's speaking of right here. He says, for he was delivered for our offenses. This one who steps before the judge is none other than the one that God has provided of himself and for himself. And this is why he is the justifier, because he provides the one in whom there would be the sacrifice that would satisfy the just God on account of our sin, because he was holy and sinless. So this is the one in whom it was imputed, the one who our sins were laid on him, and he was delivered for our offenses, raised from the dead, proves the acceptance of God in justifying and raising him, because he was satisfied.
So there's a conclusion. Go ahead, Thomas.
Just two verses. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. I think it really sums up what you were saying right now. My little children, these things are right unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world.